Amen. The book of Mark chapter 5 this morning. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. And I know this is maybe a little bit of a unique sermon title. When I sent it yesterday over to Christy to make a slide for the title, she usually makes it and sends it back to me pretty soon. But she didn't. And then when she finally did, she said, I didn't know what to do with this one. And so that was a little worrisome to me. If she didn't know what to do with it. This is what's on my heart today. And the Lord, he knew who would be here in this service. And so let's look to God's word for a few minutes here today. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 21 through 24 and then skip down to verse 35 and read a few more verses. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Then I want to skip down to verse 35. Because starting there at verse 25, it gives the account of Jesus being interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. And so he takes time for her on his way to the house of this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. He takes time for her and miraculously saves her life as well. But skip down to verse 35. He says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Now, in the short ministry of Jesus, 3 years, 3.5 years, in those short years, Jesus performed more than 40 miracles that are recorded in the Gospels. A miracle is something that happens that is outside of the laws of nature. Jesus is not restricted by the laws of nature, is he? And so a miracle is something beyond what normally could happen within the laws, the natural laws. And of course, the ultimate evidence that Jesus has power for miracles is when he performed the miracle of raising people from the dead. And he did that three times in the Gospels. And that's what we want to take a few minutes to talk to you about here today. Jesus never gives up on the dead. Jesus never gives up on the dead. I think that Jesus was not backward or reluctant to face the worst of situation when someone was sick unto death or was sick and died. And in John 5 and 21, it says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." And then John 11 and 25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live." And then John 5 and 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, the ultimate statement of his power was the raising from the dead. Something about when as long as there was life there, there was the confidence that Jesus could do something about it. Even this man who was a ruler of the synagogue, he was probably well set financially. He had influence, and he probably had at his means every possible cure, doctors and everyone that was available to him. And no doubt he had done, and just like the woman that they met on the way, the Bible says of her that she had spent all that she had, and that she had suffered much of many physicians. And apparently she had got to the point of she was spent completely in every way. She is now physically weak. She has spent all that she had and done everything that she could have. She was dying too. This was a woman that was just about dead as well. 12 years with the issue of blood. I'm sure physically she was weak. She was spent. She was, because of all of the laws and the restrictions of the laws, she was probably ostracized, separated from her loved ones and her family. And so she too was in a position of almost dead. And this ruler of the synagogue, he had all of this influence and money, and but he couldn't do anything about his situation with his young daughter either. He couldn't. He had done all that he could do, and he couldn't do any more. And no, so now he goes and he waits until Jesus gets off of the ship, and there he is meeting him. And here's this man who is an influential, powerful religious leader, and he bows down before him and pleads with him to come and to do something about his young daughter that's dying. I mean, he is desperate. He is so desperate to call upon Jesus. "My little daughter is at the door of death," he says, "at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and that she may live." And so there was the confidence, there was the faith, or at least the desperation in him that had tried everything. And so he had heard about this man, Jesus. Maybe he can help in this desperate hour. But notice what happened, that after Jesus met the need and healed the woman with the issue of blood, and just stated, you are made completely whole. You are whole. And then right after that, they come from his house and say, "Don't bother him anymore, because she's already dead. There's nothing that can be done. She's already passed. It's the end of the line. And nothing can be done. Don't bother the master anymore. And I got to thinking about this, that a lot of us have situations, we have needs, we have things that we're concerned about, maybe some things that you have prayed about, and but you've come to the end of that prayer, and you really don't have much hope that anything can be done about it. It has become a dead issue in your life. And you may not even pray about it anymore because you've kind of come to the place that you've just accepted it. This is the way it's going to be. I can't change it. It's a dead issue. I think some of us, we have, you know, our own little personal cemetery, you know, with the stones that just say, this is impossible. Nothing can be done about that situation. And we've come to that place, and we've accepted it as a dead end. No way that anything can be done about this situation. It may have been your own failures of the past. I know of people that have made big mistakes and failed God, failed their family, failed in every way. And so they've just given up and lost hope that there's any way that they could ever be forgiven or their life could ever be restored. We know that's not true, but the enemy has convinced a lot of people that it's a dead issue. There's no way out of this situation. And that could be in a lot of different circumstances that you have. Maybe things that God's put in your heart. Maybe dreams and visions that God has given to you, and you've not, you know, years have gone by, you've not seen it brought to pass, you've not seen the prayer answered, you're not seeing this thing work out in your life, and so in your mind it's become somewhat of a dead issue. You know what I'm talking about. And you're faced that, you've lost hope, you've lost heart, you don't see any way that it could ever change or it could ever work out or any way that it could ever be different than it is. And you've accepted it as it is. But I just felt in my heart today that I needed to remind you that Jesus doesn't give up on the dead things. He doesn't give up on things that you have classified as dead, impossible circumstances. What you need to do, and what I need to do, is apply Jesus' resurrection power to your dead circumstance. That thing that's in your life that you see it as no way and no hope and no answer and no way that God could ever turn this around. That's what happened to Jairus whenever they came to him from his house and they said, don't bother Jesus anymore. Don't bother bringing him with you anymore. It's over. Nothing can be done about this situation. It can't be changed. Don't trouble the master anymore. She is dead. She is dead. I think it's interesting that in this story here, that the woman with the issue of blood, she had been sick for 12 years, and the little girl was 12 years old. She was 12 years old. So she was born at the very time that woman with the issue of blood got sick. And so, I don't know, she may have lived out her life fairly healthy, and then at 12 years old gets sick, even sick unto death. But there's a 12-year span there, and Jesus cared just as much about the woman with the issue of blood and the woman or the young girl that was 12 years old to change the circumstance of their life and to help them in their circumstance. So Jesus said, he just picked out his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, you go with me. And when he gets to Jairus' house, there's a tumult there, a big uprising there. A lot of people have gathered there. The little girl has died. And so her friends, her family, her neighbor, they're all there. And apparently there must have been those also there that were kind of professional mourners, because they're all crying and mourning. And then when Jesus said, "Why? Why are you making such ado about this? She's just asleep." If they were immediately able to turn off the tears and turn on the scorn. So it wasn't really all that sincere. Apparently, their crying and their weeping wasn't all that sincere. But then Jesus brings just the parents and just this inner circle into the room and says, "Everybody else, stay outside." Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the inner circle with Jesus. I don't want to be on the outside. I don't want to be in the faithless crowd, in the scorning crowd, the unbelieving crowd. I want to be in the inner circle where Jesus is moving and working and raising this little girl from the dead. That's where I want to be. Amen. In that situation. And so this morning, I just wanted to encourage some of you that your heart, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, and you think that God can't do anything about it. And you've been convinced, well, this is just, it's over. It's just, I just need to accept things as they are. There's nothing that can be done about it. Remember, another account is in John chapter 11 of Jesus raising someone from the dead. This time, it's his dear friend, Lazarus. And he's a close friend to Lazarus and to Mary and Martha. Apparently, he would go by their way, stay with them, and there was a close love and a fellowship. It actually says in the text that Jesus loved them. He loved this family, and he was close to them. They had sent for him saying, "The one that you love is sick. Lazarus, your dear friend, is sick unto death. Why don't you come?" But it says that Jesus didn't come. He delayed his coming. He delayed 2 days. He waited until, and then after a couple of days, he makes the trip to where Lazarus is. And by the time he gets there, he's already been in the grave for 4 days. And so they're saying to him, "Jesus, if you would have only have come on our time when we asked you to come, then this situation wouldn't have happened." You know, God doesn't always work things out according to our plan, does he? He doesn't always bring about the answer to your prayer in your plan and your timing or the way that you want him to move. He delayed, but then he finally came. Both Martha and Mary are disturbed by the fact that Jesus delayed his coming. It's too late now. Something about the finality of death in that situation is just like it was with Jairus' daughter. The finality of the death of the situation made them to say, "If you would have come just a few days earlier, he was still alive and there was still hope." But what they didn't realize is that the very resurrection and the life had just walked into their house. Jesus had just walked in to their circumstance. And so the reminder I'd like to give to some of you here today is that God is not late. God is at work. He has his own good timing in what he is doing. He is working. He is moving. And just because you've already labeled it as a dead issue, nothing can be done about this. Just because you've already categorized it as hopeless, don't ever think that in your circumstance, if Jesus walks into that circumstance, he can change it. He can turn it around. He can bring life where there is no life. Praise God. You know, that's what he did for Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were old, and they had been promised a son, and so they even tried to work it out through their own, you know, ways of figuring out the problem of a son. But even in their old age, and I like the wording in Hebrews 11 and 12, it says, "Therefore sprang there even one," it's talking about Isaac, sprang there even one, and him as good as dead. As good as dead. It's saying, Abraham and Sarah, as far as you having a child, you're as good as dead. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But you know what? When Jesus steps into the situation, he can change all of that. That which is dead in your life, that which is hopeless. Some of you have been praying for some that have been lost and so far away from God. And sometimes you pray for them so long that you just lose heart. And you might even get to the place that you think, well, they're a lost cause. They're a dead cause. There's not anything that could change the situation with that loved one or that person that you're concerned about. But oh, Jesus can change the circumstance, even like he did for Abraham when he was as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky and multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Praise God. That God was going to keep his promise, and he'll keep his word to you as well. Amen. Amen. I don't know exactly who this is pointed to here today, but if it's to you, I want to ask you to reach out there and get a hold of this and make it yours. Amen. Because the Lord wants to remind you that he cares about you, that he has heard your prayers. He knows your heart. He knows your motives. He knows the things that you have dreamed and longed for, and that he has placed in your heart. And they are not dead. They are not dead. If Jesus is in the middle of the situation, he can make it alive. Praise God. Now, the other person, the other resurrection that Jesus encountered, the other death and resurrection, is found in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And as Jesus was walking through a city, a small little city that was called the city of Nain, many of his disciples were with him, and much people. When we came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all of the people. Amen. So in the resurrection of Lazarus, the main theme is that God is not late. He is not late. He comes in his own good time, and he can bring a resurrection hope to you in your situation. And then in Jairus' situation, the overriding theme there is that God's power is enough even when all other things have failed. God's power, resurrection power, is enough. And in this case of the widow, it was God saying, I can raise your son from the dead because he represents your future. He represents your future. And this young man, you know, there wasn't no such thing as Social Security or Medicare or any of the retirement things that people might lean on in our day. A widow woman was dependent upon her family to take care of her. And the scripture is clear. She only had one son. And so the hope for her future and being taken care of and sustained, and even her family name being carried on, it was all gone in the death of her son. So this woman represents the future, that Jesus can bring resurrection hope to you and for your life and for your future. Praise God. Amen. He can move in your situation and can work things out for you. And I want you to be reminded of the fact that God cares about you. He has had compassion upon this widow woman at Nain, the city of Nain. and resurrected her son from the dead because he knew she wasn't just a grieving woman, but she was a woman that had lost her family and had lost her future. She had lost it all. And she was going to live out her life as a beggar, probably. Was just barely going to be able to survive if she could, because her son was going to be her future. And that was what she was dependent upon. So Jesus comes in resurrection power into your situation to help you to understand that he is the God of your future. He's the God of next week, next month, next year, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. God's already at work in that. And he cares about you, and he cares about your future, and he's going to take care of you and provide for you and work all the details of your life. He'll bring resurrection hope right into your situation and into your future situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. None of us know what the future holds. I mean, things, you know, look rather shaky in our world and our nation right now. We don't know exactly how things are all going to work out. We just know that we put our trust in the Lord. And he is power over all situations and over your situation, whatever that it might be. And because of him, you have a hope and you have a future. Praise God. God can work in your life. Jesus never gives up on the dead. He never gives up on the hopeless things, the things that you've categorized, classified. No hope, no hope. No way this could ever work out. No way this could ever change. No way this person could ever be saved. On those areas of that you've already classified as dead and hopeless. Oh no. Not when Jesus steps into the situation. He can make that to come alive. Praise God. Hallelujah. He can change it. And he can make it to come alive. Once again, Romans 8 and 11. The last verse I'll read this morning. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The same spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave, out of the tomb, is the spirit that dwells within the believer. That person that's filled with the spirit, you are filled with the same resurrection power in your life. Amen. And that means that God can use you to bring life into dead situations. Praise God. Amen. That's what the church has been called to be. Bring life into dead circumstances, into hopeless situations, to speak life to those that are desperate and are in need. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you can speak to us, Lord, in times when our lives, Lord, there are so many questions and there are so many things, Lord, we don't understand. Lord, and we wonder where you are. And Lord, that you are not working when we thought you would or we expected you to, Lord. You have not brought the hope and the answers that we were depending upon. But Lord, we trust you because we know, Lord, that you can bring life. We know that you can quicken those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm standing here and I just want to ask you, if you have people in your life, family, loved ones, you have people in your life that you have a, you know that God can save anybody, but there are some maybe in your life that you've prayed for years and years and years, and the Bible says they are dead in trespasses and sin. They're dead. But it also says that Jesus can quicken them. He can make them alive. He can make them alive that are dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. I have people like that in my life, in my family, that I'm concerned about, that they're dead in sin. They need Jesus to step in. Amen. And to quicken them, to make them alive. Amen. How many of you have someone like that? Or maybe more than one. on your heart today, would you just stand up right where you are? Just stand up. You have people that you're concerned about. You're praying for them. They don't know the Lord. They're dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus can step into their life and into their situation and make them alive. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that all over this building, there are people, Lord, that are being prayed for, that the enemy, well, he thinks he's already got them. He thinks they're already doomed and hopeless. But Lord, we know that you can bring life into that situation. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. For all of you that are standing, let's pray together right now. Let's pray that Jesus, the life giver, the resurrection and the life, would make himself known to every one of them and to all of the circumstances that you're believing God to change. Father, in Jesus' name, we agree together in prayer today because we know that we can find hope in you. Lord, there's so many, Lord, that we're concerned about because they're in darkness. They're away from you. They're living their life without even any real consideration of their need for you. And Lord, we're praying for a spiritual awakening in the minds and the hearts of people, that they would suddenly become aware of their need for you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for our loved ones, our family, people, Lord, that you have laid upon our hearts, Lord, that are lost and so far away from you. And we ask you, Lord, to stir their hearts, awaken them, Lord, and that Jesus would step into the situation. The resurrection and the life would step into the situation and give hope to those that are dead in their trespasses and their sins, saving them, delivering them, and giving them hope. Praise God. Praise God. We pray for all of these that are represented here by these standing in faith today. We're trusting God that you're speaking, you're working, you're dealing with their hearts, and we glorify your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Folks, please don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Keep pressing. Keep praying. Keep believing. God is working. God is working in your situations, your burdens, your needs. Praise God. Don't lose heart. Just understand that he can come and he will come and he will move. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Could we praise him before we leave this place? Thank you, Lord, for truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Oh, we thank you. We glorify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you truly are at work. Praise your holy name. Praise your name, Lord.